Do a little politicking?
I'll test your place, you impudent son bitch. You don't tell your pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yes. That's a powerful new force.
Bring it in, Junior.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9. And like I said, we've been covering the Trump nominations, and he's had some surprising ones so far. Definitely ones, I think, to give the middle finger to the establishment. But none has been the biggest middle finger and biggest surprise than his pick for Attorney General, one of the most important positions, than Matt Gaetz for that position. And it arrived like a thunderclap in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday afternoon. Of all of President-elect Trump's picks for his administration so far, this is definitely the most controversial and sends a message that Trump intends to shake up the establishment when he returns to power, as he should. That establishment needs to be shaken up. I would say the establishment needs to be completely taken out and replaced with something new. And that is definitely what Trump is doing with these picks. The firebrand Florida politician is perhaps best known for spearheading the effort to unseat then-Republican Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy last year, but he has been a consistent history, or he has a consistent history, of being a flamethrower in the halls of Congress. His bombastic approach means he has no shortage of enemies, including a lot within his own party. And probably deservedly so after what he's done to some of his own party members. And Trump's choice of Gaetz for this crucial role is a signal to those Republicans, too, that he is throwing conventional political opinion out the window. He doesn't care what people think. Gasper literally heard during a meeting of Republican lawmakers when the nomination of the top U.S. prosecutor was announced, according to Axios, who cited sources within the room. Now, Gaetz has some allies, does have allies on Capitol Hill who also have a loyalty to Trump. The Florida lawmaker has been one of the president-elect's most aggressive and relentless defenders at congressional hearings and press conferences and during television appearances. On Wednesday, House Speaker Mike Johnson called Gaetz, quote, an accomplished attorney. Johnson said, he's a reformer in his mind and heart, and I think that he'll bring a lot to the table on that. In a social media post, Trump spelled out how he intends to use Gaetz as a wrecking ball to radically change the Department of Justice, which he has regularly blamed for corruption. And there has been a lot of corruption in the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice does need a shakeup as well. He said Matt will root out the systematic corruption at the DOJ and return the department to its true mission of fighting crime and upholding. We should always upload democracy. If we're going to upload things, it should be democracy. But he is definitely going to uphold it and our Constitution, he said. The department has also investigated Gaetz himself. Last year, it declined to bring charges over allegations he violated sex trafficking laws during a trip he took to the Bahamas with alleged paid escorts. He was a subject of ongoing ethics investigations in the House of Representatives into allegations of that same misconduct, as well as illicit drug use and misuse of campaign funds. Gaetz, 42, who is 42, has a law degree and worked for a Florida law firm before his 8 years in Congress. The Senate will be responsible for confirming Gaetz's nomination, and the congressman, as I said, has ruffled more than a few feathers in that chamber, including a lot of Republicans. And while the Republicans do have a majority in the Senate, and this is why I said it's important that we do have control of the Senate, so that we can appoint and make sure that Donald Trump's appointees get nominated. But because it's not like it's that much of a majority, and the Democrats only need four Republicans, because all the Democrats are, I would guess, more than likely, vote against Gaetz in his nomination. So because of that, it would only take four no votes from Republicans in addition to the unified Democratic opposition, to completely sink his chances. A Republican senator, granted anonymity to speak freely, told Fox News Digital, quote, he will never get confirmed. One Senate Republican source simply said, ain't going to happen, about the prospect of Gates' confirmation. Gates said on X, quote, it will be an honor to serve as President Trump's attorney general, and did not comment on the GOP criticism about his potential confirmation. Senator John Cornyn of Texas told reporters, quote, I think we have to consider any nominee by the president seriously, but we also have a constitutional responsibility. He was prompted about whether the House Ethics Commission, a House Ethics Investigation, currently being conducted into Gates, would factor into his confirmation, to which the senator replied, that might come up. I'm sure it would. Any kind of confirmation hearing, especially by Democrats. The allegations being probed by the committee include that, like I said, that sexual misconduct, illicit drug use, and accepting improper gifts. Responding to the announcement of Gates' selection for Attorney General, Representative Michael Guest of Mississippi, who chairs the Ethics Committee, said that, quote, once a member is no longer a member of Congress, then ethics has no jurisdiction. So if Matt Gates were to be appointed as the Attorney General, the ethics investigation, which is currently ongoing, would cease at that point. And Gates has already resigned his seat in the Florida House, so he is no longer a member of the House of Representatives, which means it'll be up to DeSantis to fill that role, which we have some news about that as well later on. However, Senate Republicans were not explicitly supportive. So Senator Susan Collins of Maine, she's been one of the not a huge Trump fan of the Republicans as far as Republicans go. But she said he's under investigation by the House Committee on Ethics. Obviously, the president has the right to nominate whomever he wishes. But this is why the background checks that are done by the FBI and the advice and consent process in the Senate and public hearings are also important. Senator James Lankford, a Republican from Oklahoma, said he will go through the nomination process just like everyone else. But while Republicans could very well be poised not to confirm Gates, who has, again, proven controversial among his own party, Trump could look to appoint him through a recess appointment. The president-elect made an appeal to Senate Republican leader candidates earlier this week, telling them that they must agree to allow him to make such appointments. If Trump were successful in appointing a cabinet member through a recess appointment, they would be able to serve in that role for nearly 2 years, according to the Congressional Research Service. The appointment would expire once the next session of Congress following the recess adjourns. For the moment, however, Trump's closest supporters are celebrating his pick. Elon Musk posted on his website X, the hammer of justice is coming. But regardless of the ultimate outcome of Gates' bid to be Attorney General, Trump has definitely fired a warning shot against the bow of the U.S. government. And while his second term of office is looking to be more organized than the first, it may end up being even more confrontational. And again, I think that part is good. Here's what I also think about Matt Gaetz, because I am no fan of Matt Gaetz, simply because, A, I don't know anything about the ethics stuff. People are accused of things all the time. I mean, I'm a defense attorney, so I know that. He hasn't been convicted of anything. So that part, you know, that's kind of in the air. What I never liked about him is that he doesn't play well with Republicans. And I've always said that Republicans, you know, you have to be a team player. Because the power is in the party, not the individual. However, from a strategic point, this is kind of smart, I think, from Donald Trump, because by nominating him, and maybe Trump knows this, because Trump is, you know, Trump's a pretty smart guy. By nominating him, he got Gates to resign his position. And it didn't look like it was contingent on getting the nomination. He just resigned it. So Gates is no longer in the House. If Trump knew that, because he knows ahead of time, they know they only need 4 Republican no votes. And he would know ahead of time whether there's 4 Republicans who don't want this guy. And by the looks of it, I would say that's probably true. There's at least four that don't want him. So what that means is Gates gets out of the house so he can't cause trouble in the house, right? Because right now, as I just said, mentioned at the top of the hour, we now have control of the house again, which means we have to have another house speaker vote. We don't need, now that the Republicans are in power, we don't need any kind of dissension like he had last time. We have to show we are a unified front on especially the House and especially in Congress, the House and the Senate. So by taking him out, he's not there to then cause those problems. And if you know he's not going to get nominated, then he's not going to be a threat to that either. So essentially, you maneuvered him out of a position. I think pretty deftly. If he's doing that, that's like third level politicking. Okay, if he were to do that, that's like master level politicking on how to solve a problem. This kind of problem, they talk about it in business school as well. And I don't know if Trump, you know, got this right, but in management, there's a management technique where if you have an employee who is particularly troublesome or not good at their job, but for whatever reason you can't fire them, right? You don't have enough on them, whatever. It's not within your authority to fire them. As in the case of Donald Trump, right? He has no authority to fire a congressman. They're elected. So what do? Well, you promote them. And when you promote them, they get to that next higher position, they fail at it, and they're gone pretty quickly. And that way you've gotten rid of a person without ever having to fire them. And that's a business tactic that's used by managers at certain points. It's a risky one because you do put them in a higher position. It may make others around the company not too happy with you, but they can't see that next level thinking. So I don't know if that's what he's doing here. It's also, you know, a fun middle finger to the rest of Washington to put Matt Gaetz in there. I honestly don't think a guy like that would be good as Attorney General, just because of his ethics, right? I mean, again, I don't know what's going on with all of that, but you know, the fact is that, you know, if it's true that he has illicit drug use, all this other stuff, this guy doesn't need to be the head of the Department of Justice, which is about, again, the nation's top prosecutor. You know, this is someone who needs to be above that, right? Who needs to have the cleanest record ever available. This guy's going to be ahead of, you know, he's going to be head of the Department of Justice, which includes things like the FBI and you know, all of these, all of our investigatory agencies, DEA, you name it, right? ATF. So, this is someone who needs to be really, really above, and it has the cleanest record available. But, you know, again, it's a firebrand pick. It looks, based on some of these comments, I don't think he's going to have the votes to nominate him. And again, Trump wouldn't have known that. He definitely would have known that before making the announcement. You don't make the announcement knowing it's going to fail unless it's your plan for it to, in fact, fail. Which, again, is a next level of politics, which could be what he's doing. But I said it takes him out of the house where he cannot cause problems. And we don't need a problem. As I mentioned the first hour, we got an agenda to get passed. We don't need people to be causing problems. We need people to get on board. I guess I said get on board or get out, right? It's real simple. And we don't need anybody throwing a wrench into that hammer. That's not a quote. That's not a thing. You can't throw a wrench into a hammer. Throw a wrench in it. Maybe it should be a thing. Throw a wrench into a hammer. See what happens. We don't need anybody to cause any problems in regards to that because we got to get this agenda through. And like you said, taking out non-team players like Gates, who is, again, not a team player, which, again, would not make him very good for the position of Attorney General, who has to be a team player or should be. Replacing Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland obviously hasn't been great, right? And he's been vindictive. You know, we need someone, again, I want to see the Department of Justice return back to, well, justice, right? I want it to return back to getting out of this political business of investigating your political descendants and, you know, political persecutions and all of this stuff they've been doing the last few years, and getting back to justice, looking at Iran, going after people here in Iran that is helping them. You know, I've talked at length about whether to go over to prosecute people like Alvin Bragg and those guys. But like I said, getting just back to justice, prosecuting human traffickers that are bringing people up from the border, right? Fentanyl, all this fentanyl distribution that's going on, you know, taking care of those guys, right? That's what the Department of Justice needs to get back to. That's its core mission, is to protect the American people and to, in fact, get justice. And we need someone, you need someone that is solely focused on that and has a career or a history of that. You know, that's the other thing about Matt Gaetz. He's never been a prosecutor. He has no experience with any of that, which, again, makes me think more and more, because Trump's other picks, they've made sense in a way. I mean, they've been kind of a middle finger, but they've made sense. Matt Gaetz, he doesn't make sense because he has no experience in any of this, right? He has no experience to be able to run the most important, you know, I would say one of the most important agencies in our federal government, one of the most powerful agencies as well. So we need someone who's been a former federal prosecutor or a former prosecutor or has experience in law enforcement, something like that, to lead that position. And that's not him, which makes me, again, believe that this may be done on purpose to kind of force him out. And a guy like Gaetz, if you see him, he's full of himself. He's very much got a lot of pride within himself. And those guys are easy to play. And this is an easy play where he's like, oh man, I'm going to be the attorney general, and realizing he has no ability to do it. And this was just a ploy by Donald Trump to get him out of the picture. Again, Gaetz has been a loyal supporter of Trump, and I know Trump very much values loyalty, but he's also a businessman. Let's not forget that at the end of the day. Is that whether I personally like you or not? It's about what can we get things done. And again, if you're going to stand in that way, then you don't need to be in this team. So I don't know if that's true or not. Again, that's kind of the next level of politics. But it would be very interesting to see if that is what occurs. And if so, that would be brilliant. All right, we're going to take another break right here. When we get back, we're going to have my favorite appointment so far. So keep it tuned here to The Full Story on WYB 103.9. If you want to call, number 601-879-0002. All right, excuse me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9 as we get to another Trump appointee. And this is one that I am extremely excited about. So President-elect Trump on Wednesday afternoon announced that he is appointing Tulsi Gabbard to serve as the director of the National Intelligence in his new cabinet. And we have covered Tulsi Gabbard quite a bit here on the show, been obviously a staunch supporter of Donald Trump this past election. Gabbard served as a Democratic congresswoman from Hawaii from 2013 to 2021. In 2022, she became an independent and then joined the GOP officially last month. The Republican is also a veteran who served in Iraq as well as an Army reservist. She was promoted to lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves just 3 years ago. In a statement on Wednesday, Trump said, "I am pleased to announce that former Congresswoman Lieutenant Colonel Tulsi Gabbard will serve as Director of National Intelligence. For over two decades, Tulsi has fought for our country and the freedoms of Americans. As a former candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination, she has broad support in both parties, and she is now a proud Republican. I know Tulsi will bring the fearless spirit that has defined her illustrious career to our intelligence community, championing our constitutional rights and securing peace through strength. Tulsi will make us all proud." And the director of national intelligence, for those who don't know, is a position that was actually created by George Bush after the September 11th attacks. And there's a person that leads the U.S. intelligence community, which includes overseeing the national intelligence program and advising the president on security matters. And the current national intelligence director is Avril Haines. Once confirmed to the position, Gabbard will advise Trump, the National Security Council, and Homeland Security Council on national security matters. And here briefly is Tulsi Gabbard yesterday on Fox News about the nomination.
First of all, congratulations. Tulsi, we're all very proud of you. Take us into the room or the airplane when this was offered to you. How did it go down?
We had a great conversation and talked a little bit about the work that needs to be done. And I was grateful and honored to accept President Trump's offer to serve our country and support his objective to defend the safety, security, and freedom of the American people as the Director of National Intelligence.
How do you think foreign capitals are taking your nomination and the nomination of other people in the national security apparatus?
It's a good question. I think President Trump has already shown how active he has been in not waiting around for day one on January 20th or 21st, but he's already leading. He's already engaging with so many of these world leaders around the world on the phone constantly. And he's showing the kind of leadership that the American people voted for.
Do you expect resistance from the inside? Because there was a lot of resistance in the first term. And how would you deal with that?
The American people delivered quite an incredible mandate for change in this election with the popular vote and the electoral vote overwhelmingly saying, hey, we want Donald Trump as president, and we've had enough of the Harris-Biden regime. Of course, there's going to be resistance to change from the swamp in Washington. I think that's kind of the point. The American people are saying, hey, stop looking at yourselves. Stop focusing on your own power, your own position, your own bank accounts. How about we have leaders in Washington who are actually looking out for the American people? And on every issue across the board, that's really what it comes down to with what President Trump is trying to accomplish is we have to make sure that our government puts the interests of the American people first.
How did
you- All right. I think that was excellent. I mean, I can't agree more with that last statement. Things that we've said here on the show time and time again, how we need to clean out that swamp in Washington, all that special interest, all that money that they're getting over there. And Tulsi Gabbard has been a true warrior in trying to fight that the last couple of years, ever since she left the Democratic Party. They've put her even on the terror watch list, which we covered here. That's how crazy that they have, how vindictive the Democratic Party is. And she has been a steadfast champion of Donald Trump because of that. On X, she said, thank you at Real Donald Trump for the opportunity to serve as a member of your cabinet to defend the safety and security and freedom of the American people. I look forward to getting to work. Gabbard announced shortly before the 2022 midterm elections that she was leaving the Democratic Party, which she accused in a video on X of, quote, actively working to undermine our God-given freedoms enshrined in our Constitution. And that's not easy, right? To say, hey, this party that I've been a part of for my whole life, been part of the Congress there, coming from one of the most liberal states in the nation, to say this is not right. You know, that at the time, that was political suicide for her to do that, right? In a state like Hawaii, who only elects Democrats, for her to come out and do that, I mean, that took a lot of gall and a lot of courage to be able to say, hey, this is something that I see the problem and I'm going to stand up for it. And obviously it has worked in her favor. Finally, she had to go through a lot before she got to this point, and had to fight people left and right. And trying to get here, in August, she endorsed Trump, and began working as a co-chair for his transition team and helped him prepare for his lone debate against Vice President Kamala Harris, which we covered on this show, and how she destroyed Kamala Harris when Tulsi Gabbard was running for Democratic when she was running for the Democratic nomination for president back in 2020. She just absolutely destroyed Kamala Harris when Kamala Harris couldn't even last, you know, didn't even last in the first primary. That's how bad she was, as we can see in this past election. And like I said, last month, she formally announced she would join the Republican Party. So, again, she served in the Hawaii House, in the House of Representatives as a member from Hawaii from 2013 to 2021, and was even vice chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee from 2013 to 2016. So she knows the Democratic Party just as well as anybody else. She was way up there in the upper echelons of the Democratic Party. And when she left, they literally put her on the terror watch list after leaving, is how vindictive they've gotten, how much their hatred for her is. Now, Gabbard has been criticized for her meeting in 2017 with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, who has been accused of human rights violations. She defended the meeting, telling MSNBC at the time, and this is 2017 when she was a Democrat, mind you. She told MSNBC at the time, quote, "We've got to be able to be willing to meet with whoever we need to if there's a possibility and a chance that they can help us take steps forward towards peace." And I think that's very eloquently said, even back then. Why would you not want to talk to people, especially in wars that don't involve us, like Syria, to get things to get to peace? Right now, why not work with as many people as you can? We don't need to create more enemies. We need to be able to take our enemies down, but we don't need to be out there creating more. So, you should be open to talk to anybody to get things taken care of. And again, that goes to show she's not afraid to step out. She's not afraid to take the steps that she believes is necessary, despite what other people may think. That's a level of courage that's just not on Washington. So, you know, again, I think it's night and day between her and Matt Gaetz. But, obviously the liberals also hate this pick as well. But I think this one is a legitimate pick. I think she's going to do amazingly well in that position. And it's time, again, that we can start cleaning out the swamp, just as she said. All right, we're going to take our last break right here. When we get back, we're going to do This Day in History. So keep it tuned to the full story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the full story on WYAB 103.9 as we get to This Day in History. So on this day, November 14th, 1969, Apollo 12, the second crewed mission to land on the moon, launched from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Commanded by Charles Pete Conrad, with Alan L. Bean as a lunar module pilot and Richard F. Gordon as the command pilot, the mission was a follow-up to the first one, Apollo 11. So this interesting thing about this mission, it started off with a dramatic setback. Just 36 seconds after liftoff, the rocket was struck by lightning, causing a temporary power failure. And seconds later, a second lightning strike hit, knocking out the spacecraft's primary systems and threatening the mission. That's called bad luck. Flight controller John Aaron famously instructed the crew to switch command modules to be able to save the mission. Also, Pete Conrad had a funny story when he came onto the landing. He said, upon stepping on the surface, he remarked, "Whoopee! Man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me." That's great. All right, that's all I have for you guys today. We'll see you tomorrow. My name is Matthew Bishop, and you've heard the full story.